The U.S. and China take their beef over trade to court. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Just hours after China's President Xi Jinping gave a speech promising to lower import tariffs for cars and open up the Chinese auto and banking sectors, Chinese diplomats filed a World Trade Organization challenge over U.S. President Donald Trump's tariff hike on steel and aluminum, essentially taking the U.S. to trade court. The U.S. challenged China at the WTO back in March over its treatment of U.S. companies. Many of the Trump administration's decisions when it comes to trade and foreign investment, levying new tariffs, blocking a foreign acquisition of a U.S. firm, these actions have come from a core belief, the idea that economic security is national security. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at what that means.
When the Trump administration decided that protecting the U.S. steel and aluminum industries from foreign competition was a matter of national security, its argument for new tariffs wasn't just that we need these metals to make weapons or build critical infrastructure. Dan Rosen is with the Rhodium Group, a research consultancy.
Government is saying we need to protect certain industries as a reliable component of the American economic system in order to look after the national security. This is a new world.
It's a view the Trump administration laid out back in December when it published its new national security strategy. Economic security was one of its four main pillars.
Arguing that our national security requires us to take a much more holistic view of what will make us safe and secure and defensible in the future.
In a similar vein, the Trump administration recently decided that a foreign company, Broadcom, couldn't acquire U.S. telecommunications firm Qualcomm. It argued the U.S. needs to be a global leader in the wireless broadband technology Qualcomm's developing. Rosen says the Obama administration also struggled with similar questions around technology and national security.
But the boundaries of what could be considered critical and in need of protection definitely are expanding. What we need now from this administration is a clearer explanation of how much further those boundaries are going to expand, what we can expect going forward.
Problem is, drawing those boundaries, that can be tricky business. And many trading partners see national security as just a cover for old-fashioned protectionism. Plus, governments have a bad track record in figuring out which next-gen technologies or industries to protect, says Howard Schatz, an economist with the RAND Corporation.
I can make a national security argument for an innovative economy. I can say we need an economy that will create all kinds of new tools and technologies which we can then incorporate into military equipment and that will give us an edge in any conflict with any adversary, right? But then the question is, how do you do that?
Schatz says the problem with using trade policy is that it invites retaliation. Anything you do to a trading partner can come right back at you. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And let's do a quick check of the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up, way up in the 1 to 1.6% range, with the Dow future up 274 points. A new survey of small businesses says their number one problem is finding enough qualified workers. The National Federation of Independent Business, or NFIB, released the survey numbers today. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more on what they found.
Each month, the NFIB asks small businesses, are you hiring? Are you having trouble finding workers? NFIB Chief Economist Bill Dunkelberg says the number of business owners answering yes to those questions is soaring.
And those two numbers have been at the very highest levels we've seen in 45 years of survey history.
Dunkelberg says small businesses are taking a second look at applicants they might have rejected before. Nearly a fifth of the businesses surveyed say they're offering better pay packages to attract workers, but only 16% are raising prices to pay for those higher wages. Boston College economics professor Bob Murphy says they can't. There's just too much competition.
If they're in retail particularly, they lose the sales to Amazon or other large retail operations.
But Murphy says if wages keep rising over the next year or so, small businesses will have to raise their prices. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org.
Today is Equal Pay Day. It's a symbolic day. It's meant to call attention to the persistent earnings gap between men and women. The date is determined by how far into the year a woman, on average, would have to work to catch up to what a man earned on average the previous year. Experts say there are a lot of reasons for the pay gap, from childbearing to career choice to gender discrimination. Marketplace's Amy Scott looks at how expectations in the workplace may also play a role.
31%, almost a third of women, think they earn less than men in their workplace who have similar qualifications and experience. Just 6% of men think they're out-earned by women. That's according to a survey from the job site Career Builder. Its chief human resources officer, Rosemary Hafner, says women also don't expect to advance as far.
Female workers really said, you know, roughly 25%, we don't think we're going to really get beyond the entry level, where male workers that we surveyed had higher career expectations and aspirations.
Those assumptions reflect reality. On average, women make about 80 cents for every dollar earned by men, according to census data. But Andrea Johnson with the National Women's Law Center says low expectations can hurt women.
There are these gaps, and then I think, you know, we internalize some of them, and in negotiations are reluctant to ask for as much as our male counterparts.
Johnson says the onus should be on employers to base salaries on experience rather than negotiating skill. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.